Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith for Life, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, the call, and the purpose of God that has been predestined for us before the foundations of the earth. In this 15-minute segment, you're going to be empowered in your walk of faith, encouraged in your process of faith, even encouraged in your life and how you believe and receive the word of God and live it out daily, being a light to someone else, being that which is necessary so that they will be able to see the love of Jesus Christ in you, so that they will believe, they will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but even be encouraged in their walk of faith that they can continue and do all that God has required of them. When you've been called to be one of God's instruments of righteousness, it's not always an easy process that we go through, but it's necessary because we're being changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth. God begins to take us and mold us and shape us into the individuals that he's called us to be, but most of all, the body of Christ that he's already pronounced us as. And when we allow him to shape us, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We allow him to shape us and to move in us in such a way that it is his will being done in our life and not our own. So we live by the word, by faith, to please God for the glory of God. We've been looking at individuals in the Bible and seeing them not as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as God's chosen people that he's using, and we see them in a way that relates to us in our everyday life and how we ourselves can take the word of God and use it in our lifetime, in our perspective, and get the meat of it and understand what God is telling us to do, get the instructions and walk in it and allow that word of God to manifest the blessings of God spiritually and in every area of our life. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings in this series that we've been continuing. It is a place where we see God demonstrate his power in an unlikely place, a place that we ourselves cannot understand how, when, or where God is going to bring his word to our lives into fruition. But we know and trust that where we are is not the place of our end. It's not the place of our demise, but it's the place of growth. It's the place of maturity. It is the place where God is going to expand us and God is going to get glory out of our lives. We started in the book of Esther looking at her in exile and how God used exile as a place of blessing, not only for her, but for her cousin Mordecai, also for the nation of Israel, and put her in a place of government, a place of political power, that the rule and the examples of what was being set as politics, as policy, had changed for the people of God, because God removed the enemy of Israel in that political arena and also brought them out to a place of great excellence and success. We see also in the book of Genesis, as we look at Joseph, how God used that place of slavery to send him ahead of time to solve the problem of Pharaoh, to give a nation that did not know the God of Egypt the opportunity to see God work in power, bless them as he saved many lives, and also promoted Joseph to a place of power and reigning, and he demonstrated and showed the authority of God in a great way. We looked at it also in the book of Genesis, looking at an unlikely character blessing, a character issue where God uses Jacob and he gives him a blessing in his mother's womb, already telling him who he shall be and what he shall be, and dealing with his character, changing him and making him not Jacob any longer, but Israel. We now are looking at David, and we're looking at the unlikely place of blessing as he's being developed for the leader, for the nation of Israel, and how he did not call himself, he did not search this out, but God chose him in an unlikely place of serving in his father's house, and now is grooming him and getting him ready to be the king over his nation. We're going to go back and recap just a little what we went over yesterday and go further in this study of unlikely place of blessing, being prepared for leadership. We saw that on yesterday that the word of God lets us know in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, that Saul has now been removed as king. David has been anointed by Samuel as king. And once he is anointed as king, the Bible says that the spirit of power came on David. He was empowered
now to do the will of God, to rule God's people, to do what God has called him to do and empowered him to do it. And the Spirit now, the Holy Spirit, now has been lifted off of Saul. And Saul himself has a tormenting, a distressing spirit that has come upon him. And we understand and know that when God's Spirit came upon the men of old, that he did not dwell in them as he does now, because Jesus had not yet come. He had not died on the cross and sent the Comforter. So the Holy Spirit would come on people at different periods in time, and he would be there temporarily to lead them, to guide them, to do with them as God was allowing them. The Bible even let us know that when man began to write and the inspired word of God, that the Holy Spirit came upon them. So the Holy Spirit was there coming upon them, not dwelling in them during this time, that they might write, that they might do what the God, the Lord of heaven, had already commanded them to do, and to do it for his glory. The Spirit of God lets us know, the Spirit of the Lord lets us know that once his Spirit leads us, or in the Old Testament, once the Spirit, his Spirit leads Saul, that now a spirit has come upon him that is causing him torment. And I believe and I know that God's Spirit always provides protection, power, peace, reassurance, empowerment, life, healing. It provides all of those things for us. So now that God's Spirit has been lifted off of Saul, he's being tormented. And that tormenting spirit, I believe, came because of his own rebellion. And we see in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, that this same thing happened to King Ahab, that once he was out of the will of God, that when the Spirit of the Lord lifted off of him, he was tormented also. So we know that the best place to be is in the perfect will of God and not the permissive will, because when we're in our permissive will, we walk in a way other than the will of God, which is perfect, and we command our will or the will of something else to now take over. God will give us grace when we walk in that permissive place, but that grace does not save us from the results of what we ourselves have done in our own nature and our own will. We will have to reap some of the things that we've done in our own will as believers instead of walking in the perfect will of God. And because of that, when we do that, we cause more distress in our lives. So we don't want that. We want to always remain in place of perfect, so God's will can be done and will be done in our life. We see that as we go on in the study that God's Spirit had lifted off of Saul. He's now at a place of torment. And his servants knew, they could recognize that Saul's character, that Saul's behavior had changed. Everything about his life had changed, and he was not the same king that they knew him to be. And so they knew that there had to be something that needed to happen. During this time, music was the thing that soothed people who were in a place where they were being tormented. Music was the thing, and it had to be a certain type of music, a certain kind of music. And their servants knew that there had to be someone that could play skillfully to cause Saul to go back into this place of peace and to cause him to go back into this place where he was resting. One of his servants said that he knew someone. He knew someone that could help Saul. And his servant asked him, could he bring this individual to him? And Saul said, yes, bring this person to me. Let me have this person in my presence that I won't be tormented. Saul himself recognized that the Spirit of the Lord had been lifted off of him and that he needed to get solace. He needed to get some peace, that he needed to be in a place where he could feel peace, even if it was through someone else playing that music. And David always said in his song, he says, Lord, don't take your spirit away from me. Taking the spirit or being out of the presence of God is a form of torment, because when you're out of the presence of God where there's peace and there's freedom and there's liberty and there's righteousness, you open the door for everything else that is outside of God to now come and embrace you. So he understood, David understood, don't take your spirit from me. And Saul was at a place where the Spirit of God had been lifted off of him, and he was not in the place where he needed to be. And you'll see as you study Saul's life that later on, because he's in such a tormented place, that he will go even as far as seeking out a soothsayer or a person who works in divination to try to get an answer from the prophet who has already passed, already died, about his life. Because during that time, the children of righteousness were in a gulf separated. They called it the bosom of Abraham. They were separated in a gulf, and it was just a little better than those who were in total torment, but they were separated by a gulf. So he was able to call him because of where he was. Jesus had not yet come and led all of the people from their defeated, vanquished place and gave them good gifts and taken them to heaven. So they were able to have access to them because they were all in a place they were being held. So we see that because of his disobedience, it leads him further into a place that that's not the will of God for his life. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow our own disobedience and rebellion, which is the sin of witchcraft, which is associated with that, to step in our lives and lead us in a path and in a direction that is not God's will. When we do this, we open the door for the enemy to really begin to mess in our lives and to try to destroy us and destroy the things that God has already done for us or made known to us, even in our children. So we have to make sure that we don't allow our own rebellion, our own disobedience against the will and the word of God to cause mishap in our lives and to our children and other situations in our life. We need to stay in that place of perfect will. So Saul gets, his servant goes, and he begins to talk about and describe David in a way that David had not yet walked in. He began to describe David as a skillful player, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, handsome, but most of all, he said, God was with him. He's describing David in a manner that David has not yet walked in all of these forms. And I don't know if this servant knew David, knew of him, but he is saying and speaking something that is prophetic in the form of God allowing him to say and pronounce who David was in that level and on that level. In the hearing of Saul, he's pronouncing who this man is. He's pronouncing that he's a skillful player. He's announcing that he's a mighty man of valor, that he's a man of war, that he's prudent in speech, that he's handsome, and God is with him. He's announcing to Saul who he is and letting him understand this man is a man of God. And so David is called to the forefront to now serve as Saul's musician, but later becoming his armor bearer. And he's doing this because God has already ordained it. It is already taking place. And you don't ever have to worry. And when God begins to say something about your life, when he begins to say who you are and what you shall be, when he begins to pronounce that you shall be a certain person in the earth and do a certain thing, the purpose of God will meet you and it will announce you even before your enemies, before they even recognize you. It will announce you, and you will begin to walk in what God has already ordained for your life. So as long as you stay in perfect will, as long as you obey God and are led by him and have a heart that is tender and obedient before him, you don't have to worry. God will open up every door, he'll move every enemy, and he'll put you in that place where he can be glorified. And you'll know that it is the hand of God who's done it and not you yourself, because you will not be able to do what God is able to do in your life and bring you to the place of destiny and purpose and serve with your heart for his glory. Saul sends a message to Jesse, and he tells him that he needs David to come. David shows up, and what Jesse does is he loads up a donkey with bread and wine and a young goat, and he sends it to Saul by David to let him know that he's in agreement with what he's doing, but also to give homage to the king and to show them respect and to give him something. And David goes, and David understands already, because he's already been anointed to be king, he goes in a humble way, and he does not announce himself. He's already been announced by the servant, and God will announce him later when he takes the throne so that all the nations will know. So he's already in the process of being primed, and God wanted him in that atmosphere where he could see leadership could see, rulership where he could see what was being done. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thatcher. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life, the process of there. We'll be back next week again going into this more fully. I pray that you have a wonderful, blessed worship experience and that you celebrate God and what he's doing in your life, even though it doesn't look good. Have a blessed and wonderful day.